Getting sober requires a lot more than mind over matter, a lot more than willpower. It's about leveraging the support around you. People in recovery typically need a mix of medical help, emotional support, and changes in lifestyle to manage their addiction, not just mental determination. As both a therapist and someone embracing the recovery lifestyle, there's one tool I always recommend to people needing extra accountability: SoberLink. SoberLink is a high-tech breath analyzer system designed to help you get and stay sober. And here's why I love it. You'll test the same day every day, eliminating testing anxiety. Friends and family receive instant test results, helping you rebuild trust and preventing relapse. Accountability is a part of that, and it's something to really be embraced. Devices have built-in facial recognition, so your support circle knows you're testing, and tamper-resistant sensors flag any attempts at trying to beat the system, so your sobriety is never questioned. So let 2024 be your best year yet. Visit soberlink.com/TAM to sign up and receive $50 off your device. That's soberlink.com/TAM. And let accountability be your guide. Welcome to The Addicted Mind Plus, the podcast where recovery, mental health, and wellness take the front seat. I'm Dwayne Osterlund, and joining me is my co-host, Eric Osterlund, known for his insightful work on the Stuck Brain podcast. In each episode, we'll dive into actionable small steps to help those in recovery journey further along the path to wellness. Our conversations are designed to be concise, typically around 15 minutes, though we may occasionally delve deeper when the topic demands it. Our goal: to provide you with practical advice grounded in real experiences and expert insights to empower your recovery journey. So whether you're on a break, on a walk, or just taking a moment for yourself, join us as we explore the many facets of recovery and mental health, one small step at a time. This is The Addicted Mind Plus, where your journey to wellness gets an extra boost. So let's get started. All right, Eric, today we're going to talk about goal setting and habit formation and how it will help you get out of the addiction cycle, break out of anxiety and depression, get your life going where you want it to go. So before we start, this episode goes well with an episode we did earlier on the stages of change, episode 4. You might want to check that out, because I think these two episodes are really going to support each other. And the reason for that is because knowing what stage you're in the stages of change, can help with setting goals and habits. So I would suggest also listening to that episode as well and putting these two together. Let's jump in. Have you ever felt a lack of direction or purpose? Or when you're trying to accomplish something, you find yourself starting and stopping, you have difficulty just breaking out of a certain cycle that you're stuck in, maybe even feeling like you're on the edge of relapse, or you don't even know how to measure your progress. Where am I going? And I would imagine that often leaves you feeling like a failure, makes you feel like you're not going to accomplish anything. And how much time have you wasted being stuck in these feelings, in these intense emotions that cause you to feel depressed, anxious, and then once again, back into that addictive cycle of just trying to cope with it?
Yeah, that feeling of failure, that I didn't accomplish something, is pretty intense sometimes. That's why goal setting is something that I imagine that everyone can relate to on a certain level. Even if you have many years of recovery and regardless of your current situation, setting goals and habit formation can improve all of our outcomes. Because if you don't put some effort into learning about goal setting or habit formation, then you are more likely to continue to repeat those negative behaviors. And that leads to addiction, anxiety, and depression over time.
Yeah, I agree. Most of us get stuck in a bad habit loop. We keep repeating the same bad habits over and over again that don't lead us in the direction we want to go. And it's hard to break out of those sometimes. It can be really, really challenging. And that's why it's so important to be able to know how to set goals that can actually work. And if you're listening to this, I'm sure you're going to relate, because all of us have bad habits, and a lot of our bad habits can cause us a lot of harm, and they operate without us even knowing it. Habits are automatic behaviors that just keep going. Our brain wants to be efficient. Our brain wants to just do what it knows, but those habits keep us stuck. They don't let us go in a direction where we want to go. And so we get stuck in these bad habits. So there's two parts here. One is we got to know where we're going, and then we've got to also be able to see the habit too. They're, in essence, both sides of the same coin, because we need both sides to be successful, especially if you're dealing with addiction. Eric, I know this is in your wheelhouse. I have learned so much from you about setting goals and habit formation, and often look to you for guidance. So I'm excited we're going to jump into this episode, and I am really glad that you said, hey, let's talk about this topic, because it's really powerful once you understand it.
Absolutely. It's a really deep topic. I am excited to talk about it. I love this topic. I've geeked out on it over the years. There's lots of information about it. But with that being said, today's episode is about 15 minutes. So we're going to go into more of the philosophy of why goals and habit formation are so important, especially when it comes to recovery and I would say mental health in general. So we're going to focus on the why you should invest time in goals and habits more than getting into specific modalities or methods to set your goals and habits. So let's first talk, what is a goal? Well, goals are desired outcomes or accomplishments that you work towards. That's just simply said, you know, that's a textbook definition.
So for example, a goal could be like, I want to lose weight, or I want to get more in shape. I want to walk more every day. I want to be more successful at work. These are all examples of, in this way, goals.
Yeah, those are all goals. Those are pretty simple goals, and they're lacking the reflection part of the equation. So those are good, but they're very vague. So there's lots of methods out there to help you dive in and get to that reflection part of the equation to help really iron out and streamline what a good goal should look like.
Why do we need to reflect on this? What's the benefit of doing that?
Well, that's a great question. So if we don't reflect and we don't take some time to dive in to setting goals, we're going to get a goal that's either misleading or superficial. Like, if I want to be in better shape, what does that mean? How do I measure that? What does that look like? How would I know when I'm there, right?
I think this is really important that you're talking about this, because oftentimes I know I found myself setting goals, but they are that vague. And I don't really know if I've ever reached them, or I kind of know I want to go in that direction, but it doesn't really get me there. And I imagine a lot of people can relate to that, because I think a lot of us do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes that can leave us frustrated. So if a client comes in to me and says, I want to be happy. I want to be more happy, as I get that often. What does that look like? How would you even know when you're there? And if you don't know when you're there, what that looks like, you end up getting kind of stuck in that pit of despair, because you're going over and over, I should be more like this, but you haven't set a path or a destination.
So this is where the reflection part comes in. We reflect on it and we refine it. And that piece is really critical when we're going to set a goal for ourselves.
Absolutely. And there's several different methods out there to help reflect and define and really make your goals specific. So the major one that we see, that I see a lot, we use it in the hospital, and I've used it for me personally, is called a SMART goal. And what that does, that stands for specific, measurable, actionable, relevant, and timely. And if you add all those characteristics to setting a goal, you tend to start to do more reflection on what that goal is, which makes you narrow it down and make it more specific. Now, there's other ones we use in business. I've used this as well. It's called OKRs, objectives and key results. That's similar. You start diving in and figuring out what the objective you want to do with business. And then how am I going to measure that with key results? What does that look like? There's other simple ones of one word goal setting, but that's kind of misleading, because they don't just pick a word out of thin air. They actually start to reflect and dive in and figure a word that represents the direction they want to go to. Usually when you use one word goal setting, it's for a business context, right? Like, we want to do better in customer service. So a word that represents that might be loyalty, or, you know, punctual or something. So all their actions fit towards that word of loyalty or punctual kind of thing.
But one of the things that I'm seeing here that they all have is that reflection piece. So whatever one you choose, you do have to do reflection on it, and you have to think about it, and you have to start to contemplate, what does this really look like?
Yes. really reflect, really dive in deep, and then set that goal.
And I've also found that as you do something like a SMART goal, which is my favorite as well, it makes you think about how you're going to reach that goal. Not just saying, oh, I want to go over in that direction, over there. By doing that reflection and putting it in this context, I find that I actually have to start to go, okay, what does this actually look like in the form of behavior?
Yeah. And that's, I think, why SMART goals are so popular, because they make you look at each kind of access or each point of interest when you're setting a goal.
Right. Let's go back a little bit to talk about the difference between goal setting and habit formation. So what is the difference between those two elements?
That's a great question. So the main difference is goal setting is where you want to be or the desired outcome. And then habit formation is a pattern of behaviors that become automatic over time. Now, sometimes they overlap. So sometimes a habit then can become a goal. But usually what we see is the person has a goal of, let's say they want to run a marathon. You'll want to look at that, reflect on that super goal, like that big goal that you want. And then you might want to look at the habits that you have in your daily life that are already autonomic, that you're doing without even choosing to do. They're just operating in the background. So sometimes we have habits that push us closer towards our goal, and then we have habits that pull us farther away from our goal. So let's look at the marathon example. If I have a habit that's pulling me farther away from the goal, that might look like I play too much video games, right? So I can't get off the couch and I can't go for a jog or a run or get outside. So for that habit that's pulling me away from my overarching goal, which is to run a marathon, what I could do is set a smaller goal that says every time I play my video game and I'm done, I'm going to unplug it and put it in the cabinet. Now, this comes from James Clear, and this is called a hurdle. Because the next time you want to play that video game, you're going to have to pull it out of the cabinet, plug it in, and then play it. And what happens is that little bit of a hurdle stops you from actually playing the video game as much. So that might decrease. So now you can add a positive habit in there to get you to get closer to that marathon. And that can even be like a small goal. That habit could be, I want to just put on my shoes and walk outside. If we tend to look at the marathon as a goal, that's such a big goal. It's easier to create a smaller habit, like I'm going to put my shoes on and just go outside and walk my running shoes. And that usually works better.
So the habits are the automatic behaviors that we create that get us to our primary goal.
Yes.
And we need those habits to be able to progress. We can start to hack our outcomes by creating these positive habits, small things that we can do that steer us in the direction we want to go towards that goal.
Yeah, and they add up over time. It's better to start small with those small things because they will add up over time.
So to reiterate, our goals are where we want to go, and we use a formula like SMART goal to be able to reflect and really look at that goal, and then we create habits that support that goal and help us move in that direction. Now, I know out there and in my own life too, and I'm sure if you're listening, you probably have experienced this as well. There's a lot of reasons we don't want to set goals in the first place. The main reason you might not want to set a goal is that you believe it's a waste of time, or you didn't even realize the real power of goal setting and habit formation. And you may not want to set a goal because you're scared of failing or not reaching them. And this fear overpowers the desire to set the goal in the first place.
Yeah, the ironic thing about that is actually missing a goal or failing a goal per se is actually a wonderful thing, because that gives you the opportunity to figure out why and grow from it. So think of it with rockets, SpaceX. They launch rockets off, and in the beginning, a lot of them blew up. And they got the best information on how to fix that. So think of the same thing. If you set a goal and you don't obtain it or you don't get to it, that is not a negative situation. That is a very positive, powerful event that you can then use to figure out how to grow from it and readjust.
And this is really important in recovery too, to have that mindset, because often when we're in recovery, we're going to have setbacks. And if we can take those setbacks and learn from them and grow from them and not move into self-loathing, we're going to get so much more out of it. So it's so important to be able to set these goals, set things that are measurable, look at your habits, and then reassess so you can learn and grow.
Yeah, and change your mindset. So if you don't get to that goal, that's actually a beautiful thing. That's a great growth opportunity.
And this goes back to episode 4 when we talk about stages of change, because this lines right up with that as well. Being able to see this goal setting from a stages of change model helps you be a little bit more compassionate on yourself as you work to do this.
Yeah, because we're all going to have setbacks and we're going to go through the different stages of change like we talked about in that episode. Now, I really want to talk about some tips to succeed with your goals, because there are some tips that we can give you to really get you to succeed. The first one is, like we kind of said earlier in this episode, spend time digging in and finding the motivation behind the goal and spend some time on this. Don't just write a goal in one day. Spend some time reflecting. And then remember, like we just talked about, goals should be a little bit flexible. And if you don't reach it, just reevaluate it and try a different approach. It's a great growth opportunity. And lastly, some people like to write their goals down. I personally like to write mine down. I like to share my goals with supportive others. You know, if I have a fitness goal, I share it with a couple other people that I trust and I feel supported by, and I share it with them. This helps develop accountability and commitment to the goal. So it's important, if you can and you have a nice, safe environment, I would share your goals with others.
I think that's really important, to be able to share it with people who are going to support you.
Yeah, and I would even like to add on to that. Share it with people that you trust their advice or their opinion. So if you have like a fitness goal, share it with somebody that's in your fitness community. Make sure the advice you're getting about your goal is pertinent to the person you're sharing it with.
All right. So I'm going to summarize what we've been talking about when we're looking at goals and habits. So the first thing we want to do is we want to have some deep reflection on where we want to go, using tools like the SMART goal or some of the other ones out there that we mentioned. And then once we do that, we want to look at our habits, our behaviors that support or take away from the goal we're trying to achieve. And we want to write this all down. And once we have it written down, we want to share it with others who will encourage you and give you positive feedback and support. And as we're working towards our goal, we want to measure it and readjust if needed. Really focus on the small habits that will push us in the right direction over time, and develop a growth mindset and realize there are no setbacks here. Anytime you don't reach your goal, it is really an opportunity for growth. So be kind to yourself as you're on this journey.
Beautiful. That was well said, Dwayne.
Thank you. And I know how difficult setting goals are. And as I was saying earlier, Eric, this is something I've definitely looked towards you to help me with. So what we did is we created a worksheet that will help you do this process. It'll help you reflect on your goals, help you look at them and design them so that they can be measurable, and you can work through these steps that we've talked about. You can get that worksheet at theaddictedmind.com/plus, or just click the link in the show notes and start the deep reflection so you can achieve the goals you want to in your life and break the addiction cycle. And if The Addicted Mind is helping you, please take a moment in whatever app you're listening to us right now and leave us a 5-star review. And if you're feeling really generous, write us a review. That really does help people find the podcast, and we really appreciate it. Thank you so much to everyone who has done that. It means a lot to both of us. Thank you for listening, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much for listening, and see you in the next episode.
Thank you for tuning into The Addicted Mind Plus. We hope today's episode has brought you valuable insights and a small step to support your journey in recovery, mental health, and wellness. For more information about this episode and additional resources, please visit our website at theaddictedmind.com/plus. And if there's a topic you're eager to hear about or a question you'd like us to explore, we'd love to hear from you. Reach out to us at theaddictedmind.com and let us know your thoughts. Your journey is important, and we're here to support you every step of the way. Until next time, take care and keep stepping forward on your path to wellness.
I'm Madeline, and I'm the host of the Happiest Sober podcast. I got sober in my 20s after a decade of gray area drinking, and the greatest plot twist of all time was realizing that alcohol, the thing that I thought made my life the most happy and fun and exciting, was actually the exact thing preventing me from living my happiest and best life. My mom is 40 years sober, and she joins me on my podcast very often. I like to call her my part-time co-host, and I also bring you solo episodes where I share my top tips, tricks, and mindset shifts in sobriety, and lots of how-tos for navigating all the things sober, from weddings to parties to holidays to bachelorette parties to trips. I'm also joined by so many guests who come on and share their sober stories, and they're all so, so inspiring. I'm here to show you that life doesn't end when you quit drinking. In fact, it's very much the opposite. And no matter what your relationship was with alcohol, life can be the absolute happiest when you're sober. New episodes come out every Tuesday. You can listen to Happiest Sober podcast wherever you get your podcasts.